The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
I am a Penn State grad. Actually, just a few years ago, I graduated. I know I met some of you outside, and you were mistaking me for a fifth-year senior. But no, I'm on staff, and as Mark said, and loved my years here at Penn State. And I became a big football fan. How many of you are kind of excited about the football game this weekend, first one? Yeah, we all need to pray for Stefan Wisniewski. You all know Stefan? He's our starting center. He comes here to Crew a lot. You pray for him that he'd play a great game to honor the Lord. All right? That's Stefan. Stefan, are you here now? There he is, bro. Okay, bro, we're gonna pray for you this weekend, all right? Tomorrow, Saturday. Okay. Hey, tonight I am going to dive right in. We're going to talk about relationships, dating, and we'll throw a little sex in there, too. I mean, we're going to talk about sex. Now, I like talking about this because I have a lot of conviction about this area of life, and because this is so much a part of my own story. My first semester here, lived in North Halls. And I would say my whole first semester was about relationships, specifically Mary Ellen. And I'll tell you more about her later. But most of you are into relationships, right? You come in as a first-year student, and you come in, you're excited about a whole lot of people you can get to know, right? So when you come in, you're excited about it, and when you go out, you're excited about seniors. Any seniors here kind of motivated to maybe go out with a relationship? Came in? Never mind. You aren't willing to share that with me. Last week, Tim started us off this semester talking about relationships and talked about the Trinity, that the relationships we long for is rooted in the very fact that God is a triune God, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were in relationship, and that's why we are relational people created in His image. Now, specifically tonight, we're going to talk about relationships, guy-girl relationships. And to do this, I took a little survey of Penn State Crew students, a dating survey, if you will. And I'll share with you the results I found of hundreds of Crew students, dating survey. I found that 3% said they date frequently. 4% said they date occasionally. And 93% said, define what you mean by a date. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about what do we mean by a date. Now, here's the reality. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about dating, right? Because dating wasn't a cultural phenomenon at the time of the first century when it was written. Marriages came out. Relationships, marriage, and sex, of course, people have been all about that for forever. But during the first century, the means to finding a partner that you live your life with was not dating. It was arranged marriages. And I've had experience of this when I was in India several years ago. I was spending time with the campus director there, and he invited me over to dinner and introduced me to his wife. Now catch this. He met his wife for the first time 3 days before they got married. Yeah. 3 days to get to know each other, and they got married. It was an arranged marriage. Now let me ask you this. Give me a one or two word verbal emotional response to the idea of your parents arranging your marriage. How do you feel about that? I thought of that. And that, doesn't it make you shudder to the core to think who my mom or dad might have picked for me? But in many parts of the world still today, that's how it happens. Well, we don't arrange marriages in our culture. We do it differently. Now, because it's not in the Bible per se, dating, because it wasn't culturally relevant at that time, there are many different opinions about the kind of questions that we have about dating. And I'm going to just deal with one question. We have all kinds of questions, like who should I date? Why should I date? How and when do I move from a friendship to serious, exclusive dating? How much physical appropriate in dating's context, so forth, all kinds of questions. But I want to deal with just one tonight because time doesn't allow to do all the other ones. We'll have men's times and women's times later in the year to talk about all that good stuff. I want to talk tonight about why we date. Why we date. And I'm going to share with you a why that is radically different from what you've ever learned. Most radical perspective on why we dating, why we date, certainly radical to most Penn State students. Now let me pray for us and we're going to dive in here. Lord, teach us tonight. I pray you would allow me to share perspective on how you see our relationships. And Lord, somehow enable me to share this perspective in a way that would build our conviction that we want to see relationships with the opposite sex and live them out according to what your word says, not just what our culture and the media says and even friends that we've grown up with. Help us see it from your perspective. Thanks, Lord. I trust you'll do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we think of different reasons why we date, of course, there are many. Many good reasons. I want to mention a few, some good and some healthy, some not so healthy. Obviously, we date because we just want to have fun, right? You want to hang out with someone from the opposite sex, you enjoy being around them. It's just fun. Friday and Saturday night, you want to hang out and have a good time. You want to get to know people from the opposite sex. That's how we get to know people, because someday we're going to marry someone, and it's a great way to, obviously, spend time with people before you do that. We date because we're looking for companionship and friendship. We're looking for a life partner. Now, you may be not right now, but you will eventually look for a life partner. We date for intimacy, and we date for security. We date to belong. But also in our culture, a lot of people date simply to have sex. And a lot of people are going to go out this weekend, Friday, Saturday night, and they're going to go to a party, and they're just looking to get sex. Right? And we know that. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. Some people date because it's good for their image. It's a status thing. I look good, depending on who I have by my side. So there's lots of reasons why we date. Some not so healthy. Some that don't honor the Lord. And some that leave people really hurt. Now, I want to mention a book to you and share a couple thoughts from it. Have you ever heard of this book, Finding Your Million Dollar Mate? It's by a guy named Randy Pope, and that's his name. I highly recommend this book, Finding Your Million Dollar Mate. He talks about why we date, and he talks about the process that we employ in dating. And he says this, share a couple thoughts with you. Here's a diagram in his book. It looks like this. It says, when we think about who we are as persons, we are all obviously multifaceted. We are body, physical body, we are personality, mind, will, and emotions, and we are spirit. There is the immaterial part of our being, our soul, the deepest part of who we are. God created us as a living being with a living soul. So we're body, personality, and spirit. Now, he says this in his book. He says, you know, we all ask the question, how will I find the right person that I want to spend my life with? And when I find her, how do I know when I do? And how do I keep that relationship going so I don't become part of the 50% divorce statistic? You know, there are over 20 million single adults in the U.S. today that are single adults because they've already been through a marriage and they're divorced. Okay, so 50% is the percentage of relationships that end in hurt and pain. Now, he suggests this, that perhaps that happens because we have the wrong search process as we date. And here's what a few of his thoughts. He says, often we start out in dating, next slide, and what are we first attracted to? Body, right? It's the physical attraction, which is important, obviously, in who you date. You want to be physically attracted. However, he says, so often that is the sole focus of a dating relationship is the body. And a lot of times, ladies, as ladies head out to a party on Friday or Saturday night, walking down Garner, I notice, of course, how they're dressed. And they're headed to a party, and they're often dressed in a way to put the very focus on the physical part of their whole personhood. And so that's the kind of relationship that they attract. Now, we know what movies and TV, we have glorious shows that we watched that depict that dating and relationships is all about the physical. Am I right? I mean, you watched them. How many of you watched, be honest, admit it, how many watched Friends when you were junior high and high school? Notice no guys are raising their hand, only a few guys. Come on, guys, be honest. Okay, most of the girls are. Hey, we have more glorious shows like Sex and the City. I won't ask who watches that one. But you think about what they're communicating, what the media is communicating, is that relationships are all about right here, body to body. Now, we know it's more than that. In fact, some of you have had relationships in your past where you know that your past relationship was purely about the physical. It was just about sex, and that's why it fell apart. Because sexual relationship really doesn't keep a relationship going for very long. Now, but for most of us, it's more than that. It's personality to personality that we want to connect with and, if you will, find a chemistry with someone in their personality. How they carry themselves, how they think, how they relate, so forth. And personality to personality. Now, I think shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. Okay, who watches that one? Who will admit to it? Nobody watches? Come on, you're being honest with me. Who watches The Bachelor? Okay. Me, okay. Now, certainly there, you know, in those shows, there is much more, you know, the candidates spend all that time getting supposedly to know the personality of that person. And so it is both body and personality. Now, here's the problem. Many of you know people that have been through divorce. Some of you have seen your parents go through a painful divorce. And what is often said by folks who've gone through a divorce is that, well, it ended because of irreconcilable differences. Or our relationship ended because, well, things just change. And yeah, they do. When relationships are built only on the physical attraction and only on personality, those things change over time. And therefore, there's real instability in that relationship. Now, so what am I suggesting, and what he suggests in this book, which is so good, is that obviously our best chance of having a long-term, long-lasting relationship, which I incidentally believe that's what we all want. Now, there's plenty of people who simply do want to go out and hook up, and we know that. But even those who simply want to hook up for a night, ultimately, deep down inside, tell me if I'm wrong, most of them eventually want to have a long-term, satisfying, intimate relationship. Am I right? That hooking up lasts only for a little while. Now, so of course what he suggests in his book is ultimately, where does deep intimacy come from in a relationship? What keeps us together for the long haul is the spirit connection. Now, of course, what the scripture says is you and I are born with a soul. We are born, created in the image of God. But what it also says is because of sin entering into the world, because we've entered into sin with Adam, that our spirit is spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2 says we are born in our transgressions and sins, and we're spiritually dead. And so the reason it's difficult to get to this kind of spirit-to-spirit relationship is because for my spirit as a man to relate to my wife's spirit, we've both got to be spiritually alive. So before I knew Christ, none of the relationships I had with Marcia, with Cindy, or with Mary Ellen, none of them did we get past the body or the personality. Because I wasn't spiritually alive. My spirit, my soul was dead until I met Christ. Now that changed when I met the woman who's now my wife, because she was alive in Christ. I had become alive in Christ. And so our relationship went to a whole new level. And I experienced a depth of connection and intimacy I never knew before. So to relate spirit to spirit is a spiritual connection, right? Now, anybody can hop in a sack and have a physical connection. That's just pretty easy to do, right? But to have a deep spiritual connection with another person takes so much more than that. It takes, first of all, being alive in Christ. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, when we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we're made alive spiritually, and we can spiritually connect with another person. Now, what he talks about in this book, and by the way, I highly recommend this to you, Finding Your Million-Dollar Mate. It's an easy read. You read it in an hour. Has powerful perspective. But he says this, He says, often when we are stuck at the first two, those end up being fatal attractions. And when we don't get to the deep spiritual connection, when we do, we have spiritual attraction. Until then, we have fatal attractions that long term don't keep the relationship alive, often hurt the other person, and often, ultimately, spiritually, ruin somebody's life. When I was here as a student, I was discipling a student, another guy who was in a fraternity here. His name was Rick. And Rick was really coming alive in Christ. He was motivated. He was growing. His life was changing. He was beginning to reach out to other guys in his fraternity. He had really come alive spiritually. And we were having a great time, and I was helping him grow in his faith. We'd meet together and look at things in the Word and so forth. And I remember Rick started to date a gal, real nice gal. I met her, real sweet gal, but she didn't know Jesus. She wasn't spiritually alive. And so Rick, who was spiritually alive and growing and motivated, he just couldn't connect with her at that level. Now, he wanted to be able to reach out to her to help her come to know Christ. That's great, Rick. Be a friend to her. Invite her to Crew. Hang out as a friend. But I warned him, I said, dude, if you get in a serious dating relationship with someone who cannot connect with you because they're not connecting with Jesus, you can't connect spiritually, ultimately, that's going to steal your heart away from Christ. And your passion, which is at this level for Jesus right now, as your passion for her grows, your passion for Jesus is going to diminish. Because there's nothing about your relationship from her that's going to help your passion for Christ grow. She can't. It's only going to help your passion go down and her, for the Lord, and up for her. Well, sad enough, Rick did not heed my advice. And he kept going in this relationship with someone who was not spiritually alive. And sure enough, it wasn't long before there was a deep emotional connection. And it wasn't long before they were in bed together. And once that physical connection happened, along with the emotional connection, and many of you know this because you've been there, they were so connected physically and emotionally that Rick just drifted away in his walk with Christ. And that spiritual fire that was evident in his life was just smothered out. So you see, fatal attractions, when it's only body and physical, can do a lot of damage. But deep spiritual attraction leads to long-lasting relationships. Now, I want to look at one principle tonight from Scripture, and then I want to give you my definition for a date, okay? Hope you like it. If you don't, tough. It's my definition. Now, I think the Bible does speak to dating, not in laying out, here's what verses about dating, but it lays out Scripture about our relationships with one another. We're going to talk about the one another principle. Now, this one another principle applies to any relationship, guy to guy, girl to girl, or opposite sex. It's how a brother in Christ relates to a sister in Christ. Okay? And the idea is this, and I want to propose to you, is that when you are in a relationship with someone, up until the point that you get married, now some might argue, well, the point is when you get engaged. But the problem with that is engagements get broken, right? Up until the point when I stand before God and I make a commitment for life to this person, up until that point, she doesn't belong to me, or he doesn't belong to her, she doesn't belong to him. They are a brother and they are a sister in Christ. They have no rights to each other because they belong to the Lord. That girl I'm dating is not mine. That guy I'm dating is not mine. She or he belongs to the Lord until the point that we become committed in marriage for life. Now, obviously, you're moving in that direction when you start dating seriously, when you get engaged, but ultimately, it's not till you're ultimately one in marriage. So the idea is, you may be dating a guy right now that is ultimately somebody else's husband. You may be dating a man that is, or how did I say that? You may be dating, you know what I'm trying to say. Got it mixed up there. You may be dating somebody else's spouse, okay? And so you have to ask the question, how am I going to treat this other person who does not belong to me, who belongs to the Lord, and ultimately will be someone else's? Now, in light of that, if that's true, that it is brother-sister relationship until I am married, then what does Scripture say about how we relate to one another? And here we go. I'm going to just show you three of them. I hope you can see those. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this, fervently love one another from the heart. Okay. Now, there's several one another passages in Scripture. I'm going to show you three. This one, fervently. Now, you know what fervently means? With great intensity, with great passion, with great commitment, love another person from the heart, from my deepest, innermost being, from the spirit, my human spirit that is now connected to the Spirit of God within me. I'm loving them from my heart, which is far more than just physical attraction. It is attraction from your deepest part of your being. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in love. Brother-sister relationship, I am to be devoted to another person. Now, we know what it means to be devoted, to be committed, to go the extra mile, to spend time because I care about that person. I give preference to them in honor. So, ladies, let me put it this way. When a guy says to you, I really love you, and let's just have sex, and you say, no, I really don't want to, I want to wait, and he says, well, come on, but I really love you, and if you love me, that's just not giving preference to one another in love. That is not giving preference to one another in honor. When someone forces something upon you that you don't want, real love says, you know, lust can't wait to get, but love can wait to give. Give preference to one another in love. In honor, excuse me. Then one final verse. Look at this one. I like this one. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another. Encourage. Move into someone's life and speak words of life to them. Move into someone's life and talk about the good things you see in their life, what God has done in their life, to build them up. Now, you know what it's like to be around an encouraging person, right? Don't you like that? Don't you find after you meet a really encouraging person, you want to spend more time with that person? And when you meet a person who's kind of sarcastic all the time and negative and critical and tears you down, you kind of run away from that person, don't you? Okay? So we want to be around people who build us up. One of the things about my sweet wife, I'll show you a picture of her in a minute, is many things attracted me to her. But one of which was when we started spending time together was the way being in her presence made me feel about myself and my relationship with the Lord. Being in her presence and her encouragement to me made me want to walk with Christ more closely. Now, that was the first relationship I ever had like that, because she spoke into my life about who God was creating me to be. She was helping me become more of a man of God, and that really attracted me to her. So encourage one another. Build one another up. This is the basis for the one another principle. Now, in light of that, here's my definition for a date. You ready? Comes right out of the Scripture. Here it is. Definition of a date. A date is a divine appointment to encourage. How about that one? You like that one? Divine appointment to encourage. See, Hirsch, come on. That is so radical from the way most Penn State students think. Most Penn State, a divine appointment to get in bed with somebody. Or a divine appointment to try to find a long-term partner right away. To get into a serious, committed relationship. That's what a date is. No. I think from Scripture, because of the one another principle, because it's brother and sister, what a date is spending time with a brother or sister to mutually encourage each other. It's to get involved in each other's lives and build each other up in Christ. And in the process, guess what? In the process, you discover over time who is that person that you have a great chemistry with because of your personalities. Who is that person you could really live your life with? But how does that happen? As you're getting to know a lot of people, and as you're encouraging one another and building each other up. Now, you say, come on, Hirsch. I said, yeah. You know what the Latin word, what dating comes from? It comes from the Latin word. You ready? You won't know this. I didn't know this. The Latin word from which dating is taken is to give, to build up, to encourage. That's literally the Latin word from which dating comes from. Who knew that dating means to give, to build up, and to encourage? All right? So what am I saying? That if I'm embracing God's perspective on a date, it is I am spending time with this person to encourage them as my sister in Christ, my brother in Christ. And if, in the long run, this becomes a long-term relationship, great, but that's not my focus. My focus is to build this person up. All right? To be a giver, not just a taker. So often in our relationships, of course, we've experienced being around people who are takers. They take physically, they take emotionally. They're getting their emotional needs met by sucking from you. There's a hole in their heart, and if they can suck life from you, security from you, they will. See, the beauty of all this is Jesus, when he comes to live in us and causes us to be spiritually alive, he sets us free to be givers. Now, would it be great if you could go to a party here on campus, off campus? You could go to a party and it was a room full of givers. It was a room full of people who are there to encourage one another, to laugh, to have fun, to play, and to give. Wouldn't that be great? And you say, I know some of you laugh, you think, is that possible? Does that exist? I think it exists. I think when you go to a crew party, that's what you experience. Right? Ladies, let me ask you. When you're around the men here in crew at a party, are most of them like this? Do you find this to be true? How do you feel about the men here in crew, ladies? Good? I'm having to pull it out of you, okay? I think it's totally true. As I know now, the men here are not perfect. They're all in the process of spiritually growing and the process of becoming better givers, but I think that's the difference when you walk into a party of Christians, because people are set free by Jesus and they're free to give. You with me? Now, I know this is possible. I watched it in my two sons. I have two terrific sons. One is 34 and one would be 28. He's not here with us anymore. But you know what? I was so proud of my two sons and my daughters as well, but I'm talking about men here for the moment. I was so proud of my son, Nate and Brett. Because as I watched them grow up, because they embraced this truth, I just was so impressed how they related to all the women they knew from high school and hung out with. They treated them with respect, with dignity. Both of them were really good listeners. They were, well, I won't. One's already married, the other one's in heaven, so it won't do you any good if I describe it to you. But I saw it in my own son's lives that men can be givers. Men can. And spend time with women to give. Now, I want to end this with my own story. You see, I experienced this whole thing. I've been through the whole gamut of what I've just talked about. When I got here my freshman year, though I had a relationship with Jesus, I wasn't really walking closely with him. I was spiritually alive, but I wasn't growing. So I met Mary Ellen. Fell very much in like with Mary Ellen. In lust, if you will, with Mary Ellen. I won't use the love term because I don't think I knew what love was. And let's just say that Mary Ellen and I, that whole first semester, had plenty of physical attraction, body to body. We had plenty of personality attraction. I really liked her. We had a chemistry. I liked being around her. But here's the deal. Mary Ellen didn't know Jesus. There was no spiritual life in her. And because I was not growing and really pursuing the Lord, there wasn't much in me either. So we had no spiritual connection. And I remember the point of actually in our relationship where we kind of got bored with each other. Because life was so much on the surface. We had no place to go. We couldn't go to a deeper level in talking about real life. All we could do was go to a party somewhere, hang out, come back and make out, and that was it. There was no depth to our life. There was no spiritual life. Now, here's what happened. That relationship ended. And it was at that time, right before spring break in my freshman year, I bumped into Larry, who was a junior in the dining hall, North Falls. And Larry began to talk to me about Christ. And he saw that I had some hunger, and he began to spend time with me and invited me to his Bible study. I got involved in his Bible study. He started to spend some time one-on-one with me. And eventually I got to the point, I said, okay, I need to finally, once and for all, really surrender and let Jesus really be the center of my life, really take control, be the Lord of my life. And I need to look to Jesus and trust that he can fill that deep hole in my heart that I'm trying to get filled by the right relationship. And I did that, and I opened up my life to Christ completely and surrendered to his control in my life, and sure enough, he began to change me. And one of the first changes I began to see in my life, of many, was I began to become a giver, not just a taker. And I began to hang out in crew, and I began to get to know different girls, and I saw what a difference in my life. I am spending time trying to encourage these gals, not because I'm trying to get something from them to meet my own insecurity needs, but I really want to give something. Now, the only reason I could do that is because of what Jesus was doing in me. He was giving me that security, that love, that deep acceptance. And he was setting me free that I could become a giver and not a taker. Now, here's the fun thing. The next couple years, I didn't get any serious relationship. I knew different gals, went out on lots of dates, had a lot of fun. But I didn't get serious until I met this woman. Yeah, isn't she something? I promised I wouldn't say, well, so I can't say it. But I met my wife here involved in crew, and we knew each other as friends for a year or two or whatever it was. She was certainly attractive to me. I saw her around a lot. But here's when I got hooked. I gave her a ride home for Thanksgiving, living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She lives about 45 minutes away. I gave her a ride home, and I had a 67 Mustang convertible, four on the floor. Bucket seats. I was taking five other people with me, right, home. So I managed to put three in the back and one in the front and her in the middle. It was great. Anyway, I worked it. But bless her heart, she sat in the middle with bucket seats, and there's no seat there. But the good thing about it was all the way home, for the first time, I had an in-depth conversation. Now, she was certainly physically attractive to me, and I liked what I saw of her personality, but when I began to hear her heart, when I began to hear her talk about Jesus, and I began to hear wisdom coming out of her mouth, and the depth in her soul, and her innermost being, I said, whoa, I got to get to know this woman. I did. That's exactly what I, wow. And it was who she was inside, the depth of her soul coming out. So I come back to school after Thanksgiving, and we started to spend time together. And the more we spent time together, the more there was a tremendous chemistry. But I was attracted to her in every way, body, personality, and who she was as an alive spiritual being. And we've been married 36 years. And she is a delightful woman. Can I take another hour here just to talk about Roxanne? She's a godly woman. She is a servant. She's a fabulous mother. She's a wonderful helpmate. I love going out on a date and just talking with her. Going to a movie, talking. I could go on and on about this woman. Now I want to end with this. Here's a couple application thoughts for you. Ready? Ladies and men. Suggestion. Pray for your spouse starting now. Start to pray for the person who will become your spouse someday. Ask the Lord to set that person apart for you, to work in that person's heart, and prepare them to be a man of God. What's very interesting is the summer of my wife's sophomore year is when she started to pray for her spouse. She started to pray that God would set apart a man, keep him for her, a man who loved Jesus, who stayed sexually pure, et cetera, et cetera. Guess what? That was the summer of my senior year when I came to Christ. It was the very time my wife started praying for her spouse. Start to pray. But secondly, I'm challenging you to do this. I'm going to challenge you to embrace the idea. Go back a slide, would you?
Again.
Would you embrace this idea, date, which is, what is it again? It's a divine appointment to encourage. Embrace that perspective from Scripture and begin to be a giver with the people around you. Now, obviously, if I'm going to meet that kind of person who's also a giver, the other application is I need to be where those kind of people are, right? There are certain places where I'm going to find people who are spiritually alive and who are givers. And there's other places I'm not going to find that kind of person. So it's going to mean making choices throughout college of what environment to put myself in to find those kind of people. Okay? Last one I want to say to you, fall retreats. I want to encourage you that we should have a whole lot of dates. Hundreds of dates should be happening at fall retreat. Guys, since there probably might be a few more women than men, you guys need to have at least two dates during fall retreat. Divine appointments to encourage. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the fact that you indeed created us for relationships. Foremost with you, and because, Jesus, you fill our life with your unconditional love. And you fill our life with the ability to forgive, to give, to care about other people. Jesus, because you fill us, we can give ourselves away to others. And I pray for this body of believers that we would be a movement of givers to one another. Jesus, draw us close to yourself so that we can be that. I pray for the brothers in this movement that they would become tremendous encouragers to their sisters. That the sisters would become encouragers to their brothers. That they can hang and have fun, and that the foremost objective would not be to find a life partner, but to encourage and have fun and build one another up. Would you do that, Lord? We trust you will and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.